And for many of us, when we go to confession, it seems like we're pressing rewind and then pressing play. Like it's the same sins that we're confessing over and over again. Sometimes to the point where we're like, why are we even doing this at all, Father?
Yeah, well, that seems to be a pretty common practice. I mean, the saints even talk about the fact that there seem to be particular sins in all of our lives that are just harder for us to grow in. You know, we have unique strengths and weaknesses when it comes to virtue. You know, I've noted that. Like there are just certain sins that some people just don't struggle with. Like for whatever reason, it just those are not challenges for them. And but everybody has something that's kind of their Achilles heel, right? That's the as Paul says it, the thorn in their side, you know. And so we all have, you know, sins that seem to be repetitive. But I would say this, like just because you struggle with a particular sin and it seems to be this repetitive sin doesn't mean that it isn't worth, you know, going to confession and confessing, because at the end of the day, it still is a sin. It still is, you know, a moral failure on our part that we need to confess. But I'll say this too, about our kind of repeated struggle with sin. Oftentimes, I think we as modern Catholics are still really struggle with an ancient heresy of the church that was pretty aggressively condemned by St. Augustine. So you're talking, you know, 1700 years ago or whatnot. But and that heresy was called Pelagianism. And the short of Pelagianism is that it teaches a certain understanding of the faith and salvation by which the way that we are saved from our sin and death and granted salvation is through principally through our efforts. So the harder we try, the holier we become. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be, and that was condemned pretty aggressively by the church. We are not saved by our efforts. We are saved by the grace and the mercy of God. And so the repetitive kind of consistent struggle with sin that we have, in some way by divine providence, is part of God's will in our life, in the sense that not that he wants us to sin, but that he allows us to struggle if it means that us struggling is a way in which we will learn the lesson to depend on his grace and to reach out to him in relationship. I think oftentimes we get really tired and frustrated with our repetitive sin when we're thinking in a more Pelagian way, when we're thinking of ourselves like, gosh, I just need to figure this out, and I'm not growing because I haven't gotten rid of this sin, therefore it's all a waste, you know. And I think it's totally understandable, but it is also, I think, short-sighted, and I don't think it's the way we think if we want to be childlike. You know, I think it's not the right way to view our sin.
And I agree, but where is the balancing act, Father? Because there are some times when we're saying the act of contrition and you almost feel like you're lying. You know, like, oh, yeah. I'm hardly sorry. Yeah. Well, but it's like, how sorry am I if I keep going back? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. And then, you know, I detest all my sins. I don't even say that anymore. I say,
oh, you can't be changing the words.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I say, help me to hate my sin. Okay. Because I really don't. That's the thing. Like, yeah. there's things in my life that I hate that I don't go to. I don't go to. I'm like, I don't want to do that. So I want my attitude to be the same towards sin. Does that make sense, Father?
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, and the good news is for the sacrament of confession, there's actually some language that's really helpful in the catechism and the teachings of the church here about the sacrament of confession. So one thing I want to highlight is you do actually need to make a firm, it's the language in the catechism is a firm purpose of amendment. And so what does that mean? It basically, what the church says is that in order to validly be forgiven of your sins in confession, you have to have true contrition, which means you have to be sorry that you have done the thing, and you have to desire not to do it again. Now, that does not mean that you know for a fact you will never commit it again. That does not mean that you're promising you'll never do it again, because that's not a promise we can fulfill necessarily, right? Because of the way sin works. Like, we may just fall again. You know, we're imperfect creatures. So what I love about this is the church understands that when we're confessing sins, that on the one hand, we do have to desire not to do it again. We do have to desire that and commit in some way that, like, you're not going to want to do this again. But the church also understands that we're imperfect, fallen, sinful creatures who struggle with sins, even repetitively. And so it's not going to put the forgiveness of sins behind a barrier that requires our perfection. You know, at the end of the day, the sacrament of confession is about giving us the grace we need to grow exactly, Todd, as you described. You know, maybe you're confessing a sin and you kind of feel sorry for it, but you don't have perfect contrition. That's okay. The church allows even imperfect contrition to be sufficient for the forgiveness of sins.
I'm glad, because I don't know if I've ever had perfect contrition, Father.
Well, and that's important. That's important, because if perfect contrition was the standard, basically what that would mean is that the only way you can be forgiven of your sins is if you're already a saint. You see, and that's not how the sacraments work.
Amen.
Like, and that's Pelagianism, right? So the only way you get the grace of God is if you've been perfected already. Well, how do you become perfect without the grace of God and without the sacraments? You see, so like your imperfection coming into the sacrament of confession is totally assumed by the church, you know? And so, yeah, you do have to have firm resolve that, like, you're going to try not to do this sin again. I do think sometimes we start to despair a little bit of our repetitive sins and we confess them, but then we make absolutely no effort to not do them again. It's almost like we've just given up the fact that I will always struggle with this. And I think that's a deep problem. I think it's despair. And I think it becomes, I think we're giving in to the sin before we've ever even attempted. Mm-hmm. You know, some people will say, it's like, well, Father, I just have a bad mouth. And I'm like, then clean it. You know what I mean? Like, you just, that's not a thing. You don't just have a bad mouth like that. That's, you know what I mean? So like, I remember that, you know, using bad language, particularly like the bad word, you know, the F word. When I was much younger, I'd use it or whatnot. And I just remember someone just like called me out on it and just said, hey, I really don't like that word. And I remember, and this was not, again, I'm not a Pelagian. This wasn't about my effort, but I just remember that moment was blessed by God's grace enough. I've never used that word ever again. Mm-hmm. Like, it just was done. Like, I just did, I just made a decision that I'm not allowed to use that word anymore.
Amen.
And I haven't used it ever since then. And ever since that happened, it kind of became a lesson to me that, like, if you genuinely want to stop doing something, you may not end it cold turkey, you know, it may be but you can actually stop sinning. Mm-hmm. Like, it is possible. Like, with enough attention, with enough prayer, with enough trust in the Lord, and with enough, like, just, you know, like, desire. And if you feel like you don't have the desire to change sin, then Todd, I think you need to pray exactly the prayer that you pray, which is asking the Lord to give you the desire. That's a beautiful prayer. That's a time-tested prayer that even many of the saints have prayed before. Give me the desire for what you know to be good in my life, you know?
Amen. The takeaway I'm having as I'm picturing myself standing in the line for confession, thinking of the same list of sins that I think I said last month, is that in the glasses half full world, at least I'm not adding new sins. Like, so even though we feel like perhaps we're falling far short of, oh man, I stumbled this month again with this, is that at least I'm like, well, I'm not diving into that sinful thing. Or so. As much as we're beating ourselves up on it, I think those that do a regular exam of conscience and participate in the sacrament of reconciliation in a meaningful way with regularity, that there really is good going on, even though perhaps you beat yourself up a little when you're standing in line once again this month.
Absolutely. Well, and I think this really, this comes down to something I'm particularly passionate about within the spiritual life, which is how, like, what are our metrics for success? And I think this is part of why we struggle sometimes with frustration and despair in the faith life. You know, St. Therese of Lisieux said, if you are surprised when you sin, then you're being prideful. Because she said, like, that, like, you were fallen and little. Like, you shouldn't ever be shocked that you sin, in a sense, right? Like, your humility and your honesty should understand that as a child stumbling through this life, yeah, this is part of what it is. So she says, you get back up and you turn back to the Lord. And so going to confession, even for the same exact sin 1,000 times, like, in your life, it shouldn't be a point of despair. That's actually, in a way, it's forming your heart into the littleness and the childlikeness that is a prerequisite for entering into heaven, that trust in God's power, not in your own power. But I will say this, and I want to kind of push a little bit, and I want to challenge our listeners here, because I know this is a common experience. And you say, well, at least I'm not adding new sins. And that's absolutely true. That's good. Like, you're not growing in sin, you're growing in virtue, even if only very little. That's good. One thing I have learned, though, is if we're not adequately addressing the sins we're struggling with, something that we may be missing are deeper and maybe smaller sins within our heart that you can't see yet, because you're not addressing the sins that you are struggling with. And so it may feel like, yeah, I only struggle with these two sins. And I just, if anyone were to ever say that to me in confession, I'd be like, I would think, at least in my mind, whether I say it out loud is very dependent on my discernment in the moment. But I would think in my head, for sure, I doubt you only struggle with these two sins. These may be the only two you can see. Mm. And oftentimes what happens is when you remove sins from your life, or when I should say, like, when the Lord grants you the grace and, you know, to kind of purify these sins from your life, what you will find is more sin at a deeper level that you could not see because you were too distracted, or the bigness of the other sins was just eclipsing it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're murdering somebody every day, like, your, you know, slight gluttony at lunch is probably not on your conscience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's like, mm-hmm. Like, I know sometimes it feels like, well, these are my sins. Like, it's like a cute little, like, this is my, you know, my merit badges from hell, I guess, is what that would be. But, wow. You know, it's like, so I think just like you do, like, if you grow in those sins, you'll start to unearth deeper levels of kind of impurity and corruption in your heart that the Lord wants to heal as well. You know, Revelations 22 says very clearly, nothing imperfect can enter into heaven. And so it is. It's worth the time and the attention. And it's the sacraments are there not just to make us feel better, but to actually perfect us in time. And so I want to. It's a fine balancing act of, like, I want to challenge people: don't give up and don't despair. You know, your sins can actually be healed, but at the same time, do not be frustrated if you feel like that progress is slow, because sometimes it may not really be up to us, you know?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Boy, that's beautiful, Father.
Father Peyton, can we get a blessing from you before you leave?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father. Good Lent.
Absolutely. God bless.
Oh. Now I'm going to think about that in the confession line. Mm-hmm. Oh.